It was the worst part of Riverdale ever.
I agree. It was actually the most kind of body horror centric, and I'm impressed they went there, and it definitely made me feel a whole bunch of gross ways. Pals and gals, and welcome to another episode of XOXO
XOXO
Riverdale.
Riverdale.
I'm Louis Pearlman.
I'm Kate Batter.
This is your favorite Riverdale fan podcast that is hosted by two grown-ass adults that really are too old for the show, and today we are tackling Chapter 108, Ex Libris. If you like what you're hearing, you can follow us on social media. You can subscribe to our podcast. That's definitely the best way to keep up with all of the XOXO world. And we've had, our friend Jenna, who's been live tweeting the episodes on our Twitter account, and it's been super lovely. So definitely, follow along to our Twitter if you don't yet, and if you watch the episodes live, it's like having one of us there with you, just like walking you through the episode while it's happening. But not Kate or I, because if we committed to doing that, we wouldn't do it.
No, we would. Nope. It seems like such a great idea that we said we would do once 5 years ago and then never.
But now Jen is doing it, and that's
Yeah.
like a way better fit for literally everybody.
Yeah.
So before we get into Ex Libris, any big Riverdale fan news going on that we need to cover?
So we've had like a ton of Charles Melton sightings on Dumois Sunday Spotted. He's not quite like Nicholas Braun level of like everyone's out and about spotting him in New York, but like I think maybe he would be if he was as tall as Nicholas Braun. Like
It's
if
just that
he,
he's a
like
little
Nicholas,
shorter.
right? Well, Nicholas Braun's like 6'8", so like even if you're
Yes.
not looking for him, you're gonna find him. But I think if Charles Melton were like a little bit taller, he would maybe be on there just as much.
Also, I feel like Nicholas Braun has captured the romantic imagination of the country in a really different way than Charles Melton has, I have to say.
I think so too, but when it comes to like Dumois' obsessions, I think that like Charles Melton fits like right in with like the Cousin Greg brand.
That's fair, yes.
And then also we did get a look at their Met Gala nukes over the week. I felt like Cole did like an okay job, but mostly it was I this theme was like not great in the first place. So like almost everyone missed it because like there was nothing to hit.
What was the theme again? It was
It
the
was
Gilded Age?
like the Great Americana Part 2: The Gilded Age. So it's because like last year got delayed, so it was in September. So this is like part two of the like delayed one, and then they added the Gilded Age, but they like mostly didn't mention the part two part, so people thought it was just like metal. And like what it was very weird. Like Jared Leto finally picked up on canny, even though that was like or camp, even though that was like 3 years ago. Like it just didn't, nothing worked.
At
Nothing made
least,
sense.
Cole Sprouse wasn't wearing like a historic outfit. That's all.
Yeah. I have thoughts about that, and I'm not as mad about it as a lot of people, but it's fine. We don't need to dig
I'm
into
just
it.
into fashion preservation. That's all.
I am too, but it was at a Madame Tussauds. Or no, a
It
Ripley,
was
believe it
at
or not.
Ripley's.
Yeah.
Well, that's just speaking towards some problems in the world of fashion preservation,
Yeah.
which is, of course, what our listeners want to hear us talk about is our takes on
Honestly,
this.
this did more for the dress than it was doing sitting Ripley's. Like now people are paying attention to it.
Totally fair.
Like she wore it in a picture and then wore a replica on the red carpet. It's fine.
Is that all your news that you have? Because I just have one little piece of news that's
Yeah, that's all I have.
completely unsurprising.
Yeah, what's your news?
I read today that the Archie Comics NFT program that was just like universally despised immediately when it was announced has been put on an indefinite hiatus before the first NFT has come out, and it apparently has nothing to do with the NFT bubble bursting. Wink, wink.
If only more NFTs were put on hold. Because the
Exactly.
worst part about NFTs is that sometimes I'm like, should I get one?
Me too.
Like, am I gonna regret this in 3
Yeah, like,
years?
is this something I should do?
Like, is this gonna be a mistake? Is this gonna be like whoever didn't buy stock in Apple? Like, should I just like get one?
Or will it be like Pogs? Who gives a fuck? You know what I
Right. Like,
mean?
should I get a single fungible token?
Yeah,
Like, will it
exactly.
be okay if I get a cheap fungible token? Will that increase? So I like, will it return enough if I don't lose too much? Like, I don't.
You know, and just I need to say legally, if we're getting into this, we're not authorized to offer any financial advice.
I think it's pretty clear that no one wants to take it from us either. Like, based on this conversation, I don't think anyone's like, oh, we should listen to Kate and
Yeah,
Louie.
listen to
Tell
Kate
me
Lou
more
when it
about.
comes to their knowledge of NFTs.
Yeah, tell me more about short selling. You understood GameStop fully, right?
Yeah. All right, well, I mean,
Anyway.
that's your Riverdale fan news for the week, folks. Let's get into chapter 108, Ex Libris. What did you think about this episode?
I thought it was like good. Like, I feel like this whole season has been like solid and we've had nothing interesting to talk about because it's just been like it hasn't been like so good that it's like, oh my God, let's talk about it. But it hasn't been bad either. It's just been like a show we watch.
It definitely hasn't gotten as good as season one, which I really
Right,
feel
right.
is real television. This still isn't real TV. However, I agree with you. This is a strong season of this show. And it's because they're just allowed to make cuckoo bananas leaps. And I'm as surprised as you are. The introduction of magic seems to have solved a lot of the problems that this show was having previous.
I will say I have a friend who has been like meeting to catch up on the show and the podcast, and then she and her husband and her children all got COVID, so she just like watched 6 seasons in a row while her husband was like playing video games, and she angered people around the world who could hear all the singing. And I was like, it does there doesn't get to be less singing.
Well, there
It's
actually has been. There was that stupid Percival scene a few episodes ago, but there has been less singing this season, and maybe I'm jinxing it, but there has been less singing this season, which has been good for the show, actually. Yeah. Also, I just want to say regarding this episode, sort of in general, and I know we're going to get into it, but I just want to address the concept that this entire episode was really about Percival going after our core cast because of overdue library books and how incredibly pleasing that was for me. I just thought it was such a fun idea. Like, it was genuinely very strange and very fun.
It was like very fun and very strange. And also, like, I personally will get like very riled up about how good and important librarians are. And the whole time I'm like, no librarian would allow this. Like,
And
no way.
also too, talking about the shutting down of a library and how that is actually a great way to exert control over a community, which it is. Like, that was a smart take on it was this is a very pro-library episode of Riverdale. Yeah, and like and then also the pleasure of matching each character with their book was also really fun. And it ended up They ended up sort of talking about each book in kind of a smart way. So that was all really interesting. So I mean, let's get into it here. So it starts with Betty not being pregnant,
Right.
which I guess is fine. And then we have a few interesting hot takes. One hot take is just that Betty is Betty claims that she's screwed up by her parents, which factors in later, but Betty's actually not really a screwed up character, in my opinion. She's kind of dealing with her bullshit, you know?
She's doing a good job with what she had. And what I felt was screwed up in the scene was like Archie, he said that like everything's supposed to be so dark that a baby would be light. And I cannot stress how much babies don't solve problems unless the problem is I would like a baby. Like, there is no real problem that could be solved by having a baby.
Yeah, Archie thinks the baby's going to fix Riverdale, which is a dopey word to put into Archie's mouth. But, you know, they're not pregnant, which I think is going to lead to some sort of... I think Archie and Betty's baby, once they do eventually get pregnant, is going to somehow factor into the apocalypse. And it's going to be sort of this mythic idea around, like,
that's
the child.
Sort of like Harry Potter born to slay the beast thing.
Yeah, Harry Pottery, or maybe even, like, Jesus-y, you know, like...
Right, which is, I think, what Harry Potter, I don't know.
Yeah, totally. Yes, yes. A child with loss, yes. And the savior child, yeah, that sort of idea, yeah. Yes. So, this episode, this is in reference to the next scene of the episode, I'm kind of team Reggie this episode.
I wrote, I'm on Reggie's side.
Yes. I'm kind of getting tired of the way they're writing Veronica, but in a way where I don't know if she'll be redeemed at this point for me.
Yeah.
Which is a shame.
I feel like they were in such a good place at the end of last episode and it just completely like blew up somewhere in between.
It was so mature. And now Veronica's yelling at him for no reason because they don't have consistent writers episode to episode. Like, that's the reason why.
Yeah, just wild.
But then Reggie brought up that Veronica can't be alone and then used evidence from the show, which is so great and rewards us for watching the show all the way through.
Good for Reggie.
I appreciated that. Yeah.
And then we find out in the next scene that Tabitha, who's not in the episode, is up in Albany. He said Albany.
Did he?
Yeah.
So either that's Albany mispronounced, or it's a fake place they've invented for the show.
Or they just invented that the capital of New York is a bizarro town called Albany.
No, I think the capital, Albany is the capital of like New York.
York. New York.
But then, also in that scene, I loved this. Jughead offers a DeLillo, and Percival's like, no, no, no. And I thought it was kind of a funny insult towards DeLillo and, like, his relevancy in 2022, that maybe no one really, like, he's like, DeLillo's really, I think, gotten the reputation of being kind of bro-y, like, as a thing to care about, Don DeLillo books, and I really liked that, like, yeah. It was, like, beneath Percival to take it.
It also, like, it turned out to be because he needed that, like, Jughead's grandfather's book or whatever. But, like, in the moment, I was at first like, yes, this is very funny.
I thought it was very funny, yeah. So then he goes after this book that's called Songwriting from the Heart. And then he takes Archie's guitar, which once the guitar is destroyed, we will talk about how I feel about it. But I'm sure our regular listeners can know how I feel about his guitar getting destroyed. Yeah. Anyway, and then we get into Veronica, her book that's getting taken is called It's Kiss of the Spider-Woman, which,
yes,
I've never seen the movie or read the book or seen the musical, but isn't it sort of a women's prison drama, Kiss of the Spider-Woman?
No idea.
Okay.
They just went for the title. They didn't care what was in that book.
Yeah, they really did just go for the title because they wanted to use this sort of insect motif for her.
Right. And then Veronica says, "What are you, the library police?" And I love that.
Yes.
But then they're taking like this collateral from all these people until they find the book. And Veronica's just like, dude, take the painting of my dad. Like, LOL, if you think this is going to do jack shit.
And she kept that attitude for literally the entire time, which I just loved. Yep.
But what also bothered me about it is that, like, Jughead's collateral, like, involved his grandfather and the eczema, and then, like, Archie's involved, like, the music. But, like, I don't see how that painting of Hiram manifested in spiders.
No, that was weak. I do agree with that. Well, yeah, well called out there. All of a sudden it was like spider horror time.
Yeah.
But they didn't really do it a lot with the spider horror, which was a little bit of a complaint in an episode that was otherwise pretty effectively horror based, which I liked, you know? So then we We get Betty's book, which is small engine repairs, and Alice is just being the worst.
Well,
So,
first,
yes.
before that, we find that Cheryl's book is Flowers in the Attic.
Yes. But
And the
Cheryl.
collateral is the trunk full of Jason.
Yes. But she doesn't set him on fire right away, which I really want her to do.
I know, which is a bummer. I
I think it's
know.
going
She
to
could
end
really
with him getting
stalled
set
it.
on fire by Cheryl. I think they're building up to it.
It simply must.
Yeah, it
It
simply
simply
must.
must.
It would be such a pleasure. And then Reggie has his book, which is the book
Yeah,
about.
he just has it on hand.
Yeah, because, so he may reference it back to it in order to keep his dyslexia in check, which
Yeah.
I think is somewhat believable.
Yeah, what was fun is that it like tripped up Percival. And what I don't like is that eventually like this didn't mean anything good for Reggie. Like I thought it would be like a fun little like this is how Reggie gets away from Percival thing. Is like tripping him up by like still having this book, but then it didn't. So missed
Well, yeah, it was
opportunity.
sort of damned if you do, damned if you don't, because either you got a personal item that wasn't a book or a personal item that was a book, and either all of them were bad for the person who owned the item. And then we got a
Right.
fun meeting with everybody, and also just want to say, focusing on these characters was very refreshing, and it made me realize how absolutely tired I am of the baby Anthony plot line that was not addressed in this episode at all.
Oh, sorry, who was Anthony again? Can you
Baby
remind
Anthony.
me?
I'm talking about baby Anthony, the yes, Anthony who's a
baby
baby.
Anthony.
But it's a
Not
shame
the other
because
Anthony, the baby.
I'm such a big Tony fan, I'm such a big Fangs fan. And I like, well, I don't like Kevin anymore ever again, but I used to like Kevin. But
Totally.
that whole little fight that they're having regarding the custody ship, I really could care less. And this episode made me realize that pretty concretely. Because straying away from it, I found it quite
Yeah.
refreshing.
Yeah, I don't need more baby Anthony in my life.
Yes.
And then we find Kevin's book, which is Lord of the Flies.
Sure.
And okay, sure. We find out later it's because he like identified with Piggy, and I'm like, sure, dude, like,
Yes,
fine.
yes, yes. But he brings it, and Percival tells him to bring it unto me, like the way normal people talk. Kevin, bring that book
Right, yeah,
unto
that's how you and
me.
I talk.
Yeah, that's how we talk on
Unto
this
me.
on Doth Podcast.
Because
So,
ye old podcast.
but yeah, exactly. But then when he lit the candles and started doing the incantation, I was like, I am so down for this. This is very fun. So it worked for
It's
me.
so silly.
Very
It was so
silly.
silly. It's exactly what Cheryl said was going to happen, and great.
So
They laid the groundwork and did it.
then we get to the ROTC scene, and
Yeah, what?
Archie is very embarrassed by the fact that he used to play and write songs instead of owning it and being like, yeah, I used to be a songwriter and it was very important to me. So that seems like the motivation isn't there for him to be that embarrassed.
Right, not only is it doesn't make sense for Archie to be embarrassed, it doesn't make sense for kids to make fun of their teacher for that.
Yeah,
Like,
all of it's a little odd. And then later on, there's a retcon that happens that is that once Archie and Miss Grundy are no longer together, it sours Archie so much because of the whole traumatic experience that he had that he doesn't play music anymore. But that's not correct. He plays music throughout the rest of the
all the
show.
time.
Yeah, all the
Yeah.
time. Or I'm not all the time because I wish it was all the time because I wish it was a much more core part of how they write the character, but there are certainly multiple examples post the Miss Grundy storyline of him being a singer-songwriter. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was like his whole deal.
Yes.
So
So,
following the incantation,
yes.
The first like real effects we see of the incantation is that Reggie can no longer read.
Yes,
which
poor
is
guy.
Yeah.
And he's the one who had the book.
He's the one who had the book, and he's like the good guy in the episode.
Yeah.
And then in the credits, I saw a couple names of people who were coming back this episode, and I stopped caring about Reggie because I was too excited to see who was coming up.
Yeah, because we had a good old Lachlan Monroe, a few scenes with Lachlan Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
He is so good in this role.
Yep.
He's so creepy, and
he really
but
is.
Still feels like he's being a father at the same time. It's he really carries it, and he's considering that they really retroactively figured out that he was the Black Hood. I like that now we actually get to see him play the Black Hood. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Have you watched, have you watched Peacemaker yet?
Yes, I've watched.
His commitment to the dance in the opening theme song is. Perfect.
It's wonderful. love me my Lachlan Monroe.
He's like the best part of that intro, and it's a good intro.
And the intro is great, yeah. So then we have the spider on the portrait, the beginning of Veronica's spider battle.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to point that out. And then we have Jughead's hand start bleeding, which definitely was the grossest part of the episode. And
yeah.
Then
it got a little bit grosser when his fingernail came off, but you know.
I hated that part so much. That was the part that I was referring to specifically.
It was the worst part of Riverdale ever.
Yeah, I agree. It was actually the most kind of body horror centric, and I'm impressed they went there, and it definitely made me feel a whole bunch of gross ways.
Oh, yeah. Because this next scene with Cheryl, I felt like had a lot going for it horror-wise, too.
Mm-hmm.
And in a, like, spooky way that wasn't just, like, gross.
Was not gory. Yeah.
It was interesting. There was giggling in the attic of Thornhill. Like, it's a creepy place.
And then she pulled the sheet away, and it was just petals. It was just rose petals.
Yeah, and then she said, flowers in the attic, indeed.
I know. It's like, she was like, I have been through enough magic shenanigans that I don't give a fuck about this, which was great writing for Cheryl, I thought.
Yeah, this was like, yeah. Like, okay, like some of those roses still had stems. Like, great, now she's gonna be okay.
I'm sure that we'll end up having some sort of episode where the real Heather will show up. And it will be satisfying, but I like how nonchalant Cheryl's being about the whole thing. Heather keeps getting brought up, and Cheryl keeps being like,
"Yeah,
I know," which I think is actually really fun. Very, very fun.
Yeah.
And then we had creepy zombie Grundy, which is also pretty creepy. I don't believe the same actor who played original Grundy.
I don't know.
Yeah. And then we cut to Percival playing the cello so that their Ghost Grundy's playing it, which I thought was incredibly fun. Then Percival used his mind powers on Reggie, but that goes back to haunt. You know, then it leads to Reggie figuring out what's going on. And then we had, just want to point out, the final homeless man, who is homeless because he couldn't walk.
Right. Well, and he's still in Riverdale because he couldn't walk, because the lunacy of it is that we finally found out that Percival got everyone to leave Sketch Alley by commanding they walk to the sea. And this guy was like, well, it didn't work because I can't walk, and I love that logic.
It's very silly.
Like, it was very specifically the verb to walk.
Also, I at first just want to point out, I totally thought that what he was doing was forcing those poor people to walk into the ocean. But that's not the case. They were just walking across the country to Los Angeles. Which is fine,
yeah, he said
I guess.
To the ocean.
Yes, to the
ocean.
And
they picked the Pacific, even though the Atlantic was closer.
Yes, they walked to Venice Beach. And then We have our annual appearance by Smithers. Just want to say, hey, Smithers, great to see you. I haven't seen you in a while. And
What's
Veronica
up, dude? You know?
name drops The Strand, which is fine. I wonder if that was sponsored. Probably not.
Yeah, but also they could have done a better name. No, they could have done a better, because they mentioned Powell's then later too. Like, they mentioned like real bookstores. Like, why didn't you do something fun with them?
Yeah, I guess they're giving signal, or maybe they're giving signal boosts to real bookstores because, you know, this is like the pro books episode. Yeah.
Maybe.
And then we have that the bugs coming out of the egg, which was pretty creepy, the spiders.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have our one episode with Moose. Our one part of Moose in the episode. And he's looking real cute.
Yeah. Two Moose episodes in a row is pretty big.
Also,
very cute as always.
Moose is being very supportive and kind in the scene to Kevin.
Yeah. And Kevin, like, it feels like when he says once a piggy, always a piggy, it was supposed to be flirty, but it was just uncomfortable all around.
So I'm not going to fully describe what a pig is in the world of gay sexual subgenres, just because, like, I'm not interested in going there on this podcast. But what I will say is that being a piggy or a pig is like a really specific gay male thing, and the amount of times that they used the term piggy in this episode while referring to a gay guy, I thought was absolutely mind-boggling, and I'm certain that it was a troll by the writers. That's all.
When he eventually justified that, when he was like, when I was a kid, I was overweight and I wore glasses, and I was like, it took me a long time to justify that. Like, that makes sense, but also, like, you leaned into piggy real hard until you got there.
Agreed 100%. Yeah. So then we, you know, had this whole idea about the totems and having to find the totems and destroy the totems, which is all totally okay.
Mm-hmm.
Totally interesting. But once again, I just want to hammer the point home, because that was the scene where it becomes very clear that Cheryl isn't as affected by this magic as the rest of them are. And I know Cheryl's been through some other sort of weird torments magic-wise this season, but I'm just wondering, I hope that's going to get woven in. I hope that that isn't going to be forgotten about, because I think that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Archie is given a cello, which doesn't make a lot of sense.
No.
Jughead tracks down the books to Barney's Book Barn in Pennsylvania. And then...
in Allentown, PA.
Yep. And then... the shitty ROTC boys are still teasing Archie. And Archie, for pretty much the first time I've seen him in the series, acts as like a teacher disciplinarian figure, which is just, you know, something that I just wanted to point out.
And immediately had to go take it out on a cello.
Yeah, he took it out on the cello, which seems like the right move to me. And then Percival puts the moves on Kevin, says he never needs to feel piggy again, but... what if Kevin wants to feel piggy? Because I was picking up that Kevin maybe wanted to feel a little piggy. But that's okay. Now.
I feel like Kevin's a little piggy. But also, there's part of me that is kind of okay with this relationship, because I was so done with Kevin that it's like, great, you're the villain. Great, do it. Great.
Ish. I do have a few questions here about this. I respect your feelings about that. Thing number one is... does this code Percival as being a gay villain, and are like, because now he's like the British erudite gay villain, or is he going to become the other flip side of this? I'm wondering is if he's going to become Satan, and he's just sort of going to be very like polysexual, and you know what I mean, and kind of seduce lots of different types of people. What do you think, Kate?
I was thinking that because it felt like later in the episode he was maybe going to try it on Veronica, but Veronica doesn't like work. He can't do anything with her. It seems like Kevin is just the most susceptible to him. So he like leaned into that, but he's just like not good at seducing or tricking the women in the way that he can with Kevin.
Yeah, as which also kind
So
of
like
it brands Kevin as weak and like somewhat susceptible, which also is like it treads into gay stereotype in a way that I don't totally love either, you know?
right. I feel at this point Kevin's so far gone, and we had such a good role model in Moose minutes ago.
Well, that's a qu another question I have too. Is this going to lead to Moose getting his heart broken? And how dare? Because Moose is too pure for this world, right?
No, if they hurt mute, if they hurt Moose, I'm not done with the show. I'm going to keep watching, but I'm going to be real mad about it.
Yeah, we're going to be real pissed off about it. Absolutely. You and I will band together
Yeah,
and be very angry
we're going to
about
be
it.
real ticked off.
So then we have this somewhat well-written scene with Betty and Archie, where Archie sort of comes clean about how traumatized he was with his relationship with Miss Grundy, which is
And
feels
then
really good
Betty
for the show to
acknowledges,
finally be addressing.
yeah, Betty acknowledges out loud that Archie was groomed. Like she uses the phrase groomed. And it's like, thank you, finally.
And grooming is, of course, a real thing that is a form of abuse, of course. However, it being used during the last, it's a shame that the episodes are written when they're written and come out when they come out, because using the
Yeah, I
term
was
with the way
about
that
to explain that.
the right has been co-opted, the way the right has co-opted the term grooming, it's a little
Yeah.
disappointing to me. You know what I mean? Yeah,
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
but no, I appreciated that scene being in there. And then R.I.P. Geraldo.
Yeah, it's I feel like they it's about time. Oh my God, Geraldo! Poor Geraldo.
Right? I was kind
Yeah,
of
we
hoping
hardly
that
knew ye.
it's kind of he was yeah, he was an interesting character, so I was a little disappointed by that. I was kind of hoping when he rolled over, a bunch of bugs would like crawl out of his mouth or something, but that did not
Yeah,
happen.
I thought that was gonna happen too.
Yeah.
Bummer.
And then
It's a bummer that creepy, gross things didn't crawl out of his mouth.
Veronica refers to Dr. Kurtle as Betty's bestie. And Jenna pointed this out, but I think
Yes, I wrote
this is
that.
podcast worthy. Everybody has a little relationship with Dr. Kurtle, which I love because he's like my favorite character at this point.
Yeah. They all have like their own, their different little, like, they all feel differently about him, but like none of them feel badly. Like they all like Dr. Kurtle, but like, you know, some
Yeah.
people are closer.
And
And we
then,
know he's a big Josie and the Pussycats fan.
yes. And then Betty calls Reggie up and is like, "Where'd you get that egg?" And then she calls him a fool. And I just really enjoyed that. She went, "You fool."
Yeah. And then we have this scene where Betty's talking to the other like FBI agent
I just
and
want to
like
shout out
relive this
that
whole thing
woman,
with like
other
when she was a
FBI
kid.
agent, Betty's. I've started calling her Betty's FBI friend because that woman has just such a thankless fucking role on this show. She's emotionless, delivers
She
exposition.
really does.
It's insane.
But here's the thing, she delivered the line that very few serial killers have families, and I think that's untrue. Like, I think that that's like part of it is that like they get away with it for so long because people don't suspect like the cool dad next door. Like, I feel like that's part of it.
I do agree with
But
that,
what I don't know.
absolutely.
I wrote fact check and then did not.
Yes, but that sounds about
So
right. And then we get
yeah,
the
right?
biggest plot
That
hole in the
seemed.
episode, which is that all the books were at the same shop, which makes no
Right. Yeah, I noticed
sense.
like earlier I was like, wait. Because Jughead said, like, I got a lead on all the books. And I was like, no, dude, you got a lead on your book? Like, I don't, unless it's also a magical bookstore.
I guess it's Magical Bookstore. Yeah.
But Jughead got all the books, so here
Jughead
we go.
gets
Next,
all the books,
we're
so
moving
that
on because Jughead's got the books.
yeah, let's move on now, because now we get one of my favorite scenes actually in the entire series, which is Reggie confronting Percival. And Reggie being like, "What did you do to me? Are you a wizard?" Yeah. Like, he just jumps to wizard. And then
yeah.
Percival's response
he's,
was...
like, wizard very specifically, which I loved.
Very much so. And then it's Percival saying back to him, "I'm not a wizard, but I'm a magic man, you might say." Which is just so fucking fun. And then...
it's an insane person. Like, I would be like, if I would be like... oh, he might be a wizard. And then if he said, like, "No, I'm some kind of magic man," I'd be like, "Oh, no, he's just fucking weird."
Yep. Yep. And then Archie's like, "And, you know, if he does anything else, Percival, we're going to burn that shop to the ground." And then it cut to this reaction shot from Jughead that was absolutely insane, which I loved. I don't know if you caught that. It's like... Cole Sprouse, like, grinning and shaking his head like, "Yeah, we're gonna burn it to the ground." And it's like, okay, very overplayed and crazy.
I also like, scene, Cheryl calls everyone, like, she's like, "You guys are all cuckoo bananas. Excuse me, I have to light something on fire with my brain." Like, and at the same time, too, like, yeah, she is the most grounded person here.
You know what? As we go through this episode, I just want to say, I actually think this episode's exceptionally great. This episode's better than we're giving credit for.
Good.
All of this is amazing and hilarious and really, really fun. Yeah, so Veronica tells
and
him
on purpose.
So some of them are keeping their totems and some of them aren't. Veronica's leaving the portrait with Percival, which is interesting. Jughead is keeping the book, which I'm sure is going to bite him in the ass at some point. And then we learn that Veronica is literally toxic.
Well, no, I think that, like, that was the weird thing. So Dr. Colonel says that, like, whatever his name was, Geraldo died from the... it wasn't a spider bite, but he had the venom and it was on his lips. And Dr. Curdle's phrase was that his death was sealed with a kiss, which is so fun that, like, Dr. Curdle is like, he was planning that line. He was like, "I'm really excited. Like, okay, it's going to be like, sealed with a kiss. No. Sealed with murder? Sealed with..." Like, you know, he was like running out of his head and was like super excited to say this to Veronica.
Yes.
And like, I don't know that it means Veronica is murdery or if that's just like a thing. I don't know. But
I think she's like Poison Ivy now. I think she kisses men and they die. That's what I think her deal is now. We'll see, though. We'll see.
Okay.
Yeah. And that was the episode.
Yep.
Who was on your power list?
I have Percival at the top, and then Cheryl, and then Jughead.
That's
feels
fair.
Like a very
I have
episode. Like, there weren't too many B plots going down.
I have the big baddies. Percival, Hal, and Miss Grundy. Mm-hmm. I know.
Great.
I really thought about it. Yes. Who's on your crush list?
Okay, Moose. I'm not even going to, like, do a fun bit. Like, Moose is a tough.
Yeah.
And then I have Betty and Reggie, because Reggie deserves better. And Betty just, like, looked cute with her little heart sunglasses.
Yeah, and Betty's hair looked really good this episode, too, I feel. Yeah, my crush list was Betty's FBI friend, number one. I've decided she's my new favorite. Then Moose. And then, because we don't get to see him enough, Hal.
Wow.
No, I love Betty's FBI friend. She's my new favorite. And that was the episode.
Great.
So what do we have to look forward to next week, Kate?
Chapter 109, Venomous. Oh, so you know what? Now that we say that out loud, the Veronica thing. Yep. Okay.
Okay, yes. Thanks to our editor, Angeli Mercado, who's great.
And our theme songwriter, Louis Aronowitz.
Yeah, and, you know, come back here next week. Love us on all of the social media. Subscribe to our podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This is XOXO Riverdale. I'm Louis Perlman.
I'm Kate Batter. Bye.
Bye.